I said a hip hop, you don't stop. Check it out. It's your man, Wonder Mike.
This is the Master G.
It's your boy, DJ T Dynasty.
And this is Hidden Diggity Dog doing it real big, you heard? And we are the Sugar Hill Gang.
Hey, hello, Newark, and everyone listening in here with my co-host, Desiree Hadley, and we welcome you to episode number 10 of season 3 of Raz in 60. This year marks hip-hop's 50th anniversary, and with that, there have been celebrations around this country. August 11, 2023 was Hip-Hop Day. That date commemorates the 50th birthday of the music genre. Right. So personally, the hip-hop culture and music has played a vital role in my life, obviously from me growing up here in the city of Newark to, you know, breakdancing and pop locking and Run DMC in the hallway of University High School, you know, to Eric B and Rakim and at Howard University and beyond, you know. So, you know, my hip hop is old and, you know, I grew up on hip hop. I was featured as an educator in interludes on Lauryn Hill's album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, came out in 98. You know, hip hop was born in the Bronx, New York City. Some people argue about that, but, you know, right, most people say the Bronx.
Right.
You know, summer of 1973, mm-hmm, quickly traveled across the Hudson, landed in New Jersey, in Inglewood, New Jersey, that gave birth to one of hip hop's pioneering groups, the Sugar Hill Gang. You know, a hip, a hop, a hibbit to the hibbit, a hip, hip, hop. Made history in 1979 by releasing the first ever hip hop record, Rapper's Delight. It reached Billboard's top 40 charts and catapulted hip-hop into the mainstream music market, making it an official music genre. Today, as we celebrate hip-hop's 50th anniversary on Raz and 60, we'll be joined by the very group that put hip-hop on the map, the Sugar Hill Gang. Before we talk to them, though, we'll have a conversation with Newark-born and raised hip-hop artist turned Westport Councilman Dupre Kelly, alongside hip-hop artist, educator, and co-founder of 24 Hours of Peace, Hakeem Green. So 24 Hours of Peace, that's coming up. It is an event that uses hip-hop culture to engage the community and have meaningful dialogue about important issues like nonviolence and conflict resolution. I founded this event as the councilman of the South Ward about 11 years ago. It's now a citywide event when I became mayor. And the annual event advocates a violence-free community and promotes community building for parents, children, artists, business owners, and faith and community-based organizations. So have a great show, y'all. Yeah. Stay tuned.
Excited. All right, so I'll just go into Newark News, and then after that, we're going to bring on the first guest. All right, so as you mentioned, the 24 Hours of Peace is taking place this Labor Day weekend this year on Friday, September 1st through Saturday, September 2nd. It'll be taking place at Springfield Avenue at the intersection of Springfield Avenue, Bergen Streets, and Blum Streets.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. So very well-known artists will be taking the stage, and we're also offering health and wellness activities. Small businesses will also benefit because they'll be able to vend and, you know, get new customers, yeah, and sell products. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be big this year because of the 50th anniversary. So I'm sure it's expected to be a huge event with a lot of folks having a good time and, you know, promoting nonviolence and peace.
Right.
And moving right along, so Reading Under the Stars, that took place earlier this month. It was presented by the Office of Special Projects and the Mayor's Office of Comprehensive Community Education, hosted a Reading Under the Stars event at Ivy Hill Park. So the event is a way to implement two of the community actions in the city's 10-point literacy plan, which was formulated in response to the alarming literacy scores in Newark and launched in July.
Right.
In July, the city of Newark unveiled a 10-point plan to address childhood literacy, starting with prenatal care and expanding through the third grade. This comprehensive formula for academic and life success begins with quality prenatal care and reading aloud during pregnancy and continues through preschool, from preschool to third grade. The city of Newark is planning a wide range of events to emphasize the importance of literacy and encourage a love for reading. On the next show, we'll have Dr. Brown on. She's going to talk more about that. So people who want to know more about it or learn more about it, she'll be here to explain it, right? The VMAs is coming to Newark again for the third year, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's exciting. It'll be taking place at the Prudential Center. There will be an opportunity for Newark residents to receive free tickets to the show that'll be posted to the social media pages. So folks just stay updated on social for that info. Newark Hope Village 2 is coming about soon, right? Following the success of Newark Hope Village 1, the Newark Office of Homeless Services will be putting the final touches on the container homes of Newark Hope Village 2 in the coming weeks. This temporary housing brings stability and security to some of Newark's most vulnerable residents without addresses. So that's all of the Newark news I have for today. Anything, you want to comment on anything, Mayor?
There's great things going on. And, we want to jump right into the show.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, we have joining us before we get to the Sugar Hill Gang, which I'm excited about. We got Councilman Dupre Kelly and 24 Hours of Peace co-founder Hakeem Green. You know, we're going to invite those brothers to be on the show with us.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Want to thank both of you guys for joining us on Rising 60. We have Councilman Dupre Kelly of the West Ward with us and the legendary Hakeem Green here with us, co-founder of 24 Hours of Peace when it was on Clinton Avenue. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And both of you guys started your career as hip-hop artists. So, I guess a good question to start us off with, how has hip-hop culture shaped your journey and influenced your life and career this 50 years later? You guys are pretty old.
We don't get old, we get better.
Yeah, man, it's like fine wine.
Yeah, but to that point, you know, hip-hop has allowed us to get older and get better. Coming up in the 80s, being influenced by KRS-One, X-Clan, the Public Enemies, having that type of impact, put the battery in my back to get back in the community and get active, you know, start organizing. You know, education became a huge part of my career, being up under the teacher, KRS-One, my mentor, and just tried to really carry that. So, you know, hip-hop is not what we do, it's how we do it. So whether I'm a teacher, an MC, activist, organizer, you know, hip-hop is right there by my side, that battery in my back that keeps me going. So, you know, it's just hip-hop is not knowing how influential it would be through the years has been so influential, impactful in my life, in my experience, in my career.
Man, you know, and for me, you know, growing up in the city of Newark, New Jersey, you know, as a young man, I always felt like at one point I wouldn't make it to be 18. Then I felt like I wouldn't make it to be 21. And that's the crazy mindset. So I feel like hip hop has allowed me to believe in life and see life, you know. And what I mean by that, I've traveled the world. I went to college and had an education at a great HBCU at Shaw University, but it doesn't compare to the education that I got from hip hop, from traveling the world and meeting so many different influential people and being able to still be hip hop and come into a world like a political world and still represent the culture of hip hop. I think that hip hop is not just a culture and an art form, but to me, it is everything.
Mm. Hmm. That's
powerful.
That's pretty good. So before you became the councilman and went to a career public service, you know, you was a part of the Lords of the Underground.
Yes.
Can tell us about your experience as a member of this hip hop trio, and what inspired you to kind of switch, if you would call it switching, from being an artist to public service.
First of all, I just want to say thank you to my brothers. DJ Lord Jazz and Mr. Funky and all of the people who helped make that, all of the Newarkers actually who helped make that group a success. You know, in that group, I learned a lot. I learned how to deal with other men, other alpha males. I learned how to be able to know that I wasn't right about everything too, you know. I learned how to interact with different groups of individuals from the business sector, dealing with entertainment corporations. And I learned manhood by being in Lords of the Underground through my manager, Hafiz Fareed, who challenged us all the time. If you think about Lords of the Underground, we never really had a disrespectful type of lyrics. We never disrespected women. You know, we might've said one curse or two, but we weren't really a group that cursed a lot. And that was because of the relationship with our manager. I remember saying the B word in one of my songs one time, and he came into the studio and he said, and I asked him, you know, we're always looking for approval from our mentors. So I asked him, how did you like the joint? He was bopping his head and he said, you know, it was cool, but
that line that you just said, he's like, who are you talking about? You talking about your mother? And it shocked me. I was like, my mother? What you mean, my mother? He's like, oh, my bad. He's like, what are you talking about, your grandmother? You talking about your sister? And I was like, yo, you trying to be funny? He's like, nah, I'm just saying, if you know, if you say that, then somebody's gonna respond like I just responded. So I'm not telling you to change it, but challenge yourself more. So I learned through that group to challenge myself more. And I took those lessons that I've learned through hip hop, through a group with two other male, alpha male individuals. And I brought that into being, you know, in the public service area of learning that everybody's not going to see it how you see it, and that everybody is not going to respond to things how you respond to it. And it taught me how to deal with individuals in the public, man. So hip hop actually helped me become a public servant.
Well, Hakeem was a part of a rap group too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Channel Live, live and direct. Yeah. BDP all day, every day. All we do is spark mad wisdom.
Oh, yeah, you changed that a little bit.
Yeah, for this show right here, definitely, for sure.
So what was that like in that time period, man?
Wow, I mean, just being immersed in the culture. You know, we say that all the time, the culture. What does that mean? I mean, young people doing what they do as young people, learning the ropes as young people. Going to Montclair State, meeting Tuffy as a dancer, because I was a background dancer. I could get my scuba and scrap on.
Well, I didn't know that.
What?
Yeah, he got busy.
You're going to see me at 24 Hours Apiece.
I've never seen you do any dances at 24
Hours. Oh, you about to catch that work. Why? I'm from Jersey,
he
son.
A flat we top then, though.
Flat top, the whole joint. So I used to background dance for Naughty by Nation when they were the new style.
Thanks. Wow.
All right. And I actually met my partner, the other half of Channel Live, Tuffy, in a dance battle against Wyclef and Proswell at Montclair State. That's how me and Tuffy met.
Yeah.
Had to serve Wyclef up real fast. Matter of fact, I caught him.
Well, that's not hard, though, brother.
Yeah, it was. And so, you know, me and Tuffy, you know, got together, became frickin' frack. You know, it was about going to clubs every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, but also, again, back to getting in the community. So when we started Act Now, African Children of Tomorrow, yeah. Now, yeah. Tuffy was, you know, involved in that. We were chasing KRS-One, chasing Public Enemy, chasing X-Clan, just being immersed, not just from the rap side of it, because we hadn't started rapping yet, but being around the energy as dancers. And then once we saw Naughty by Nature blow up with OPP, it was like, all right, it's time to put away the dancing shoes and pick up this pen. And that's when I started, you know, taking recording seriously.
That's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And you got something, Des? I know you got a couple of questions.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask Councilman Kelly a few questions. So music artists running for political positions has become increasingly more common. Some examples is rapper Sean became the leader of opposition in Belize, Belize House of Representatives,
shout out to
and
Sean.
The leader of Belize United Democratic Party. Rapper Scarface came close to a victory in Houston for the city council as he ran for a runoff for the vacancy back in 2019. He didn't win, but he came very close. Mm-hmm. So as a councilman now, you successfully won political office here in Newark, transitioned from rap into public, as a public servant, becoming a public servant. What similarities, if any, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but what similarities, if any, have you noticed between your two career choices? So where are they similar as far as being a rapper and becoming a political?
Well, people don't realize, man, yeah. is, you know, early on, like I said, my manager, Hafiz Fareed, he was a mentor of mine. I had, you know, I used to search out mentors I knew I had to become the person that I wanted to be, because there was no men around me to, you know, really show me. I didn't have my pops in the house. So I used to search for these mentors. And this one guy I came across, he just happened to be the chief of staff for Ralph Grant, Dr. Ralph Grant, I believe the third, you know, he was councilman and I believe for the South Ward at one point, and then at large. And him being the chief of staff and then him taking a liking to me and putting me under his wing, I was in the public service for a long time, even before I became a professional rapper or a signed rapper. You know, the first person I ever canvassed for was Ralph Grant. You know, the first person that I started to do things for in the community was Ralph Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Even when Mother Mildred Crump, Councilwoman Mildred Crump, got elected, that year is when Mayor Sharp James made it Lords of the Underground Day.
Oh,
so
wow.
I think the thing that really made me utilize hip hop in the public service sector was one day I've been wearing Newark on my hats and clothing forever. And my manager, Hafiz Fareed, asked me one day, he said, "What's the last thing you've done for Newark?" I got defensive. It's like, "Oh, I wear Newark on my hats, my clothes, what you talking about?" And he's like, "No, what's the last thing you've done for Newark?" And he stumped me. And I couldn't really say what I've done for Newark other than doing things with them. Mm-hmm. So from that point on, I vowed that I would take some of my hip hop money, put it into something that deals with, you know, community in our city. I started a nonprofit organization back then called the Drama Squad, where we would go into all of the schools and high schools in Newark, New Jersey, and put on educational plays that were positive about teen pregnancy, teen uses of drugs, and things of that nature. And this is back, you know, late 80s, early 90s. And then that spawned and grew into me opening up a nonprofit organization that focused on literacy and education called 211 Community Impact. Mm-hmm. And it started to put me in the face at the doorsteps of the residents, you know, in the face of our political leaders. And, you know, and that just kind of, it just all intertwined for me.
All right. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. Let me ask Hakeem.
Okay.
Just 24 hours apiece. I know, because we got the Sugar Hill Gang. We trying to get rid of y'all, man.
Yeah, bring the legends in.
The legends.
The 24 hours of peace, though. But, you know, why, what is this? And why hip-hop? Because we can have that, and we have some other genres. Mm-hmm. But why hip-hop? You know, that's a question.
I mean, honestly, I'm, you know, just to throw it back to you, Mayor, you know, watching what you did in Washington, D.C., at Howard University, with Black Neo Force, and the strength and the power, and the organization, the energy, just that was like, you know, we wanted to be that, you know, and then to see your, you know, you mature in North politics and education, and, you know, you just gave myself something that, a standard that I needed to live up to, right? So coming back home in 2010, I came to Central High School, said, "Listen, I've been working with KRS-One. I got these programs." And you were like, "Go to IYO. You need to be at IYO." So I went over there. And in doing that, I caught wind of the North Anti-Violence Coalition and everything they were doing. And I'm looking and I'm taking notes. And I'm like, but how do we take this energy and create something that the community wants to latch on, to want to be a part of it? And had this idea of using hip hop. You know, it's not what we do, it's how we do it. I took it to my brother, Miri Baraka Jr., your brother and chief of staff. And he's like, "Hakeem, that's a great idea. But we got to do it for 24 hours. I looked at him like, 24 hours, Miri? I'm thinking 4 or 6 hours. You know, we do a little demonstration. Like, nah, we got to make a statement. And that's how 24 Hours of Peace was born. Using hip hop culture as a form of engagement so we can give the people what they really need, that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding.
Right. Please educate a large children with equality.
That's right.
No, that's good stuff, man. And, you know, I know there's going to be a host of rappers and stuff there as well, but what else is going to be present there?
Man, it's so I like to look at 24 Hours of Peace as a commercial. The commercial is selling you peace, love, unity, and safely having fun. So in that, we have the Office of Violence Prevention and Trauma Recovery, who do the real work, the everyday work of preventing violence and helping people recover from trauma. Brick City Peace Collective, New Direction, they'll be on the grounds doing activations and activities.
Facts.
For the entire 24 hours. And what happens on the stage is, you know, we salute all the artists that signed on. You know, it's real hard to kind of, you know, meet the message that we're trying to give the people in today's climate of commercialized rap music. We get that, but the artists that we have are like top notch, and they're coming to push that message so we can draw attention around the Office of Violence Prevention and Trauma Recovery and Brick City Peace Collective. Big shout out to New Direction, because that's the real work. Those are the real stars. That's what's really going on at 24 Hours of Peace.
Facts. That's good stuff, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exciting. No, I think that's awesome. What is available for like children, young folks, moms who want to come with their kids.
We got the bouncy houses. We're going to have face painting, of course. We're going to have health and wellness on Saturday from 8 to 12. We definitely encourage young people to get out there and be involved. We got the bartenders that come out. They do the calisthenics, the pull-ups, the push-ups. We got Nikki D, the first female rapper signed to Def Jam.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? She's going to come out. She does health and wellness with us. We're going to do yoga. Big shout out to Jen and Ty Day. They're going to do yoga. We got that going on, of course. I did mention the bouncy houses and the face painting. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some tech activities, some introducing folks to the metaverse and that whole thing. And so it's going to be a full day for everybody, awesome. All ages. We have a senior breakfast going on Saturday morning.
Okay.
We got LeVar's coming out with a gospel ensemble from 8 to 11:30, live band gospel. So we got something for everybody out there.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be dope, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. So you guys want to have any last thing you want to say to the listeners and viewers here?
Hey, man, 24 hours apiece. Hip-hop, man. When you think about hip-hop, you know, I don't want you to be scared of hip hop, right? When you think about it, just break down the word hip. That's being in the now, being in the knowing. When you think about hop, that's a form of movement. That's why it forever feels like the now movement, you know, a youthful movement. It's the now movement. It's hip hop. In 24 hours apiece, utilizing the now movement to help us move peace, love, and unity and keep it in our city.
Mm-hmm. Not for sure. Hip hop is not what we do, it's how we do it. You could be a rapper, you could be Westport councilman, you could be the mayor.
You could be the mayor.
You could be the president. You could be anything you want to be, but as long as you do hip hop for the people, that's real hip hop.
And I want to say this to the mayor though before I leave. I want to thank you, mayor, for believing in the culture of hip hop, for being part of the culture of hip hop, and knowing that. Respecting that it can elevate to what it's become right now and utilizing Newark to be one of the first to believe in that and help us get to the point that we are right now.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. Well, thank you all for getting on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Appreciate Rising 60, appreciate y'all. We'll let you know so you can push it out, all right?
Yeah, definitely. All right,
24 hours of peace, September 1st and 2nd, y'all. See y'all there.
Yeah.
All right. Just want to first thank you guys for blessing us today, being a part of Rising 60 show here in the city of Newark. Mayor Baraka here, my co-host Desiree with us as well. We do this podcast as often as we possibly can. It is the 50-year anniversary of hip hop. You guys know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure you've been busy because of that.
No doubt.
A lot of people have been as well.
Yes.
Just want to take you back to the Rapper's Delight into that moment and really first talk about, you know, that rap record and what inspired you to make the decision to be rappers at the time. Like, just take us to that moment. Was that 1979?
1979,
yeah.
August.
Yeah, take us back to that.
Mike, you go ahead and start.
All right. It's so weird because I was the last one to be chosen. Guy and Master G and Hank were kind of battling up at Miss Rob's house, and she couldn't decide who to choose because she was just going to use one guy. And then it was late. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was going through some hard times. So I said, speak up, man, to myself. I said, Miss Rob, you know I can rap too. And she heard a tape of me earlier where I had a bad cold. It was whack. But then I took a deep breath in. I looked around her house, and I started hip hop, baby, the hippy dippy hip hip popping. You don't stop the. And I was talking about her dog, the library, everything, what we were doing, who was there, and she said, "Okay, now Hank, you come in. Hotel motel, the part that Hank wrote. Oops, nope, sorry. I mean,
wow,
yeah, shut up." Shout out to Grandmaster Kaz and the place to be.
True that, no doubt.
And then Guy joined in, and he almost didn't make it because
like they don't know my name is Guy.
His rhymes were whack, but we let him. He was. I said, "Oh, he's a little kid. Give him a break."
Guy this, guy that, and people are like, "Who is Guy?" Guy is
Master G. Yeah, he's the one that loves to sign autographs as Master G.
That's right.
Wow.
Anyway, so yes, Mike gave you like kind of like the short version of it, but initially it was supposed to be one person, and then when Miss Rob
decided
between the three of us, they had already had the music recorded, And we went to the studio a couple of days later, and because Mike had what he had, and Hank had what he had, and I had what I had, they decided that Mike would go first, Hank would go second, and then I would go third. The reason why the record is so long is because we were all new. And people we didn't know anything about recording. So we just continued to go because nobody told us to stop. Right. It just so happened they recorded 15 minutes worth of music.
That's right.
So we kept going until the music stopped, and it kept it. You know, now a song is 2 minutes long. Right. Max in those days, songs were 6 minutes long. We didn't know anything about what a song, you know, time was. So we just kept rapping, and they kept 15 minutes. And that's why the song initially was 15 minutes and 20 seconds long.
I was wondering that because I was looking up on YouTube. Song was really long.
Actually, 15 minutes is nothing when you're at a live gig because you're playing for 4 or 5 hours. So we could have kept going for 4 or 5 hours.
But the reason why we stopped was the music stopped. That's the only reason why we stopped.
Yeah, guy was the last one to rap. Miss Rob said, "Oh, shut him up, please turn off the music."
Wow!
Guys want to add anything to that?
Well, basically, the thing that was amazing to me when I first heard the song on the radio was that you know, not only was it 15 minutes long, but sometimes you know the people had so many calls requesting to play the record. The DJ would sometimes just put it on and let it play twice in a row. And he would go take a break. He would go do whatever he needed to do because he knew he had time.
30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
We teed off a few advertisers because, you know, Rapper's Delight was playing. And the ads that they paid for weren't being played.
Wow.
Wow.
I never even thought of that part. Yeah. So we had to learn the part in phases and chapters.
Wow.
We had to learn it in chapters when I was a kid, you know, chapter one. Yeah. Who can beat my boyfriend? You surely can. You fly through the air, you're Superman.
Big bang.
Yep. Panky.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P.,
brother.
Yeah. So did y'all know you was about to make history when y'all did this? Or you just with some young guys out here getting on the mic?
I knew when we auditioned. I knew before we auditioned. I knew before I even met Guy and Hank, when I was with a group called Sound on Sound, I said to myself, if this ever gets on record, somebody ever puts out a record with this, I don't care who it is and where they're from, it's gonna be the bomb. And we recorded it, and I knew it was going to be a hit. Guy was a little more
Mike always knew.
Trepidatious, and he said, okay, it might be. No. Because there was nothing like this on the radio. It was in New York, it was in New Jersey, and some parts of Connecticut, but not the rest of the planet.
Right.
So I knew if it was a good record, we were going to be big. And I knew it was going to happen just the way it did.
Hmm. I thought it was going to be big in the New York metropolitan area. I really did. I mean, you know, we were doing it in the North New Jersey area, Englewood, Hackensack, and Teaneck, and of course it was already, you know, happening in New York and different parts. So I thought the record would be a regional hit and that, you know, like Mike said, you know, they had a group Sound on Sound. I had a group Phase 2. It was 900 of them.
His assistant had some soles of the sneakers with laces on.
How many people, G? How many people did they have? How many people in the group?
9,000. 9,000. It was just two of us.
G had an assistant that had the soles of his sneakers with laces in them because he couldn't afford the rest of the sneakers.
Yeah, and they had 9,000 people and they all ate one French fry.
So brothers, y'all made the top 40 Billboard chart. How did that change?
Number one. Number two.
How did that change you in any kind of way or change what you start? You know, your lifestyle, your thinking, anything.
Yeah, you're looking at is the first, Michael Wright, Guy O'Brien, and Henry Jackson are the first commercially successful rap artists ever.
Right.
We're the first to go platinum. We're the first to make money. We're the first to drive the cars. We're the first to tour the world. Anything that you see happening today, we are the template. Right. Period, point blank. We're the first people to be in magazines. We're the first to be on television. We're the ones that brought it to the world. So yes, when the record broke, it was a huge success. And anything that you've ever seen in any group, the Jackson 5, Earth, Wind & Fire, whoever, we experienced that and we still experience it to this day.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why all over the world, no matter where we go, the first question or the first couple of questions that people always ask is that, you know, how does it feel to, you know, really, you know, hip hop started with you guys. You invented it. And, you know, the answer always been, you know, no, Sugar Hill Gang didn't invent hip hop, you know, but they introduced it to the world.
Right.
Yeah, it's, I read that your song was sampled over 270 times. Like,
read my paper.
I don't know about you, I'm getting my check.
that's something.
Yeah, so that's crazy. I read that like Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg, Lords of the Underground. We just had Duke Ellington, Curtis Blow, Pitbull, Slum Village.
Missy Elliott.
So you guys have been sampled a ton of times.
Including catalog.
That's the catalog.
The catalog, not just Rappers Delight.
Right.
The catalog.
That's the catalog. Catalog has been sampled at least 200 times, and it's been from everywhere from J-Lo to, like you said, the Beastie Boys sampled us. So, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. But I
wonder what Curtis sampled.
He did use some pieces.
Wow.
So,
Curtis used a beat you made up in the house, Mike, last week.
Wow.
You know, even your boy from Newark, Mr. Redman.
Redman.
He did it.
Shout out to Newark.
Redman.
Keith Murray. Yes, sir. Keith Murray. Yes, sir.
I don't know if your audience knows. This is one of mine. But for the first 9 years of my life, I grew up in Newark.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I lived on Shepherd Avenue, Belmont Avenue.
Wow.
Went to Maple Avenue School in Beth Israel Hospital, and I went. We lived on Schuyler Avenue.
Right.
Hung out on Lyons Avenue and Belmont Street.
That's my neighborhood.
We knew all. Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Went to the Avon Theater. Come on.
Yeah, that's pretty old. The Avon Theater.
Yeah. Bro. Yes, brother. Avon Theater. What?
That's all right. So you know, hip hop. You know, and everything that's happening now, and it's a lot of change that's happened from when you guys did it in 79 to what's happening today in 2023. It's like leaps and bounds from where anybody would imagine it could ever be. Like, how do you use your influence that you have now to talk to other rappers, to create change, different things like that? You know, because I know everybody look at you guys, you know, put you on a pedestal, obviously, so. How do you use this to influence some of the things that are going on?
I tell them, don't bite, for I'll whip your ass. No, just
wow.
The best example is to be the example. We are the ambassadors of the music.
Right.
You know, we are the ones that are responsible to continue to preserve the legacy. So we walk a certain way. We conduct ourselves as businessmen. We're gentlemen. You know, we are, you know, we're statesmen for this industry. So when we rub shoulders with the individuals that are connected to us, we give that information and we put out that kind of vibration.
Right.
And you don't have to bail us out before the show. We ain't drunk the hell all up before the show. We don't fight. We don't throw stuff at the audience. We don't disrespect them. Because I'm a very pragmatic guy. And you're getting paid because people are coming through those doors who have paid to see you.
Right.
Now, have some respect. I got a love affair with my audience. I don't care if it's Phoenix, Arizona, Stockholm, Japan.
Sweden. Stockholm, Sweden.
I don't have to say the whole thing. We get this guy. Get off the line. You stink.
Oh, wow.
So we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of hip hop, obviously, this year.
Uh-huh.
What has this year looked like for you guys? Like being the first, you know, pioneer in rap?
Oh, it's been beautiful. Our phone's been ringing off the hook. You know, people want us here. People want us there. You know, shows is quadruple. You know what I'm saying? We've been like crazy busy. We just got back from Indianapolis last night.
Nice.
And we're leaving for Myrtle Beach
in the morning.
In the morning. And then on the 4th, we're going out to London. They're honoring us on the Hollywood, Camden Walk of Fame. Let me rephrase that.
With the cement, shoes in the cement and the hands and all that.
Yep, absolutely. And we got like four shows out there. So it's really been, you know, really great.
But I want this point known, though. We have been fortunate enough to consistently be working at a high level for many years. We have a lot of offers. We have a lot of people looking at us. What the 50th anniversary is doing for us is letting people know that we are a viable entity, that we do this on a daily basis, year after year after year, and not just domestically, internationally. So that's what this is really doing.
Mm-hmm. Plus, we go to other countries.
That's what I just said, Michael. BET, the Essence Awards,
Hip-Hop
Treasures, Hip-Hop. I mean, so that's what it's really doing. Our volume of work is a direct result of, once again, the catalog.
Absolutely.
Our music will stay in the fiber of human society for thousands of years to come.
Absolutely.
And because of that, we have phenomenal lives as a direct result. Like you said, samples, live events, sync licenses. I mean, there's so much that's connected to the machine that is, you know, Wonder Mike and Master G and Diamond Temple and, you know, Hen Dog, the Sugar Hill Gang, et cetera, et cetera, Leland Robinson, and the whole nine.
I know that's right. Y'all ever get any criticism from not being from New York? You started it when it first came out.
At first,
but started wearing that ass out.
That's what happened.
But did I say that?
Right.
We showed up and showed the proof.
Go to your room.
Did I say that?
The record, the records are nothing like the live performances.
Oh yeah, I can imagine.
Once they realized we had the real, we were the real deal. You know, at first they thought we were. They thought we were manufactured. They put us together.
Right.
And we were guys that they figured. But once you can't fake real
a show. No, you can't.
No, you can't.
In fact, our first tour, we did some spot dates, and then we were put on a tour with Cameo, Slave, and some other people. I mean, really hot groups.
Psychedelic, Mike.
And we opened up the show. A month later, we're headlining the show. A month later.
That's big.
Yeah, that is. It's huge.
That's big.
Cameo and Slade are not slouches either, but that's
no. No, slouches. Oh, no.
That's real.
Put on a hell of a show. Put on a hell of a show.
But I feel like now the newer rappers don't perform like they used to back in the day. Like, you don't get that.
The whole, the excitement.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, because.
Well, the choreography, all of that stuff.
But things have changed.
Yeah.
You know, like, the entertainment is, you're the entertainment. The artists out there doing what they have to do, but they want you to do jumping and moving and all the rest of that stuff. But, I mean, they're bringing it down because if you look at the culture that's been spread so far, and you look at even the Asian influence and all the rest of the stuff. Mm-hmm. Now they're working so hard at it that it's making us work hard. So steel sharpens steel. So everybody's back to their book because somebody's coming in and they're getting paid more to do it than we got paid
to imitate you.
Exactly. So I wasn't gonna say it, but you know. So but now that makes you get back on your game and get back to doing what you're doing. What you might have done sloppy, you're gonna clean up.
Right on.
You know.
Right on.
Now I got a little sidebar for any hip hop artists that are listening now. This isn't a criticism; it's an observation. Back then, oh my goodness, guys would really get into the show, the live performances, and they were the bomb. Grandmaster Flash and then
that's right.
Everybody,
Melly Mel,
the shows were the bomb.
Yeah,
and now it's kind of like, you know, standing around in one place. Just reciting your rhymes and expecting the people to show up. And they do show up. But it, to me, it shows a bit of arrogance. Nobody has to come see you. They do, but sometimes it's like somebody's going to wake up and say, damn, he's just standing there. Put on a show. The records are the bomb. Have a show to match it.
Right.
Right.
This has been a service announcement for Wonder Mike.
Right.
Oh, that's all right. What music are you guys listening to now? What are you listening to?
Oh, my God. This is Wonder Mike. I I have everything in my phone from A to Z.
Yeah.
From Mahavishnu Orchestra, wow, Jazz Fusion Group, to Funkadelic, to Michael Franks, to Art Garfunkel, to Al Jarreau, everybody, whatever I find musically evocative,
right,
I like it, and I don't care what it is. Yo, man, why are you listening to that? Get away from me. Get away from me if I slap in your dumb face. whatever I find nice, I'm gonna listen to it. I'm gonna buy it.
Hmm. You know, people don't remember, but maybe the people who are of a certain age remember. Everybody says, "Oh, well, you're not listening to hip hop." We didn't. There was no hip hop.
That's right.
We listened to music.
Right.
We listened to every damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it sounded like you just said, if it sounded good, you listened to it, and that was part of the set list.
Right.
So it wasn't. Oh, that's stupid. That ain't hip hop.
Right.
It's music.
Right.
And that's what you.
Yeah, I thought the '90s were the bomb when they combined hip hop and R&B.
Right.
Yeah.
That was dope to me.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I grew up on, you know, Marvin Gaye, Earth, Wind and Fire, you know, Parliament, Funkadelic, Prince, Stevie Wonder, you know. But now I do listen to Drake, you know what I'm saying? I listen to Hov, you know, that kind of thing. You know, I listen to maybe a little bit of what's my man? I can't think of his name right off the top of my head now. But it's a lot of new artists that I'm really feeling and listening to. Rick Ross, that's what I was trying to think of. Yeah,
yeah.
I like that new music. You know what I'm saying?
You got to be open. You got to.
You have to. You have to. Yeah.
Yeah. We having a 24 hours a piece this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the headliners, I have no idea who they are. I got to figure that out. But.
You know, wow. You guys.
Wow.
It helps having still having
I have no idea what you think about.
Kids in the house, so you get a sample of everything that's happening. So I gotta do is leave my door open because my kids will be playing.
The new guys are sampling your music anyway. So
Right? Hey. And the thing about it, they think it's a brand new record whenever it comes out. You know, most of the fans. You know,
it's true.
Like, right. Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people think Run DMC was the first hip hop group.
They do believe
they
that.
Do. They do believe
And
that.
They were the first. I've heard and read several publications where they said Run DMC was the first group on Soul Train. No, they weren't. We were. We beat them by like 3 or 4 years. D, what's up?
So
we want to bring
I'm listening. I mean, everybody sounds great.
But
I listen to everything.
Yeah.
I listen to everything. Yeah. I listen to everything from Daniel Caesar to Miley Cyrus to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Taylor Swift. Wow. Killing
We're all musicians.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're a musician and you create, and, you know,
right.
I write lyrics and,
right.
you know, I'm a drummer, so I play beat, I create beats. Mm-hmm. You know, that puts you in a situation to, you know, hear everything that's out there. Yeah.
So if somebody want to follow you, how do they do that? And where's your next show and all of that stuff?
Well,
you can follow me at Master G Sugar Hill.
Yeah.
The next show is Myrtle Beach, right, Diggy?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You can follow me at The Real Hen Dog, you know what I'm saying, on IG. We have my Facebook page. We have on Facebook and IG, we have Sugar Hill Gang. Then we have Sugar Hill Gang 79. And we have the official Sugar Hill Gang.
Okay.
Okay.
Any last things? We're going to wrap up a little bit. Any last things you guys want to make sure that we know, the audience knows before you get out of here? Any lyrics you want to spit? Anything? You know what
well,
I mean? And take it easy. Take it easy.
The Sugar Hill Gang is still viable.
Of course.
It's like almost 1980 all over again.
Yeah.
With the volume of work and the exposure. Through printed, through print, or TV, it's crazy. We're getting all this love,
and stay tuned because we are working on some new music. And
that's good.
Yeah, we're not done yet.
Nice,
it's not
done.
Right. Nice, without a doubt.
Nice. Yeah,
nice.
Including a little message to the people called called Wake Up.
Yeah,
that's all right. For real,
yeah, absolutely.
Come get a dab of some more delight coming from the hypest hype mic. Wonder the wonder mic. The party rocker, smooth hip hopper. Oh, house shaker, big fly little brother in the house. Yeah, you know the sound. The original, the lyrical, biggest on the mic around. Sugar Hill, back in full effect. Hit the spot, mic check, and jet next. We, whatever.
No doubt.
All right. Sugar Hill Gang, y'all. Thank you for getting on with us. We appreciate y'all. Razz60. Welcome to Newark.
Thank you.
Again and again. I'm sure you've been here several times.
Absolutely.
God bless y'all. I wish y'all the best.
We need egg and sausage sandwich.
I'm about to go over to the Crab Palace right now.
Yeah. Happy 50th birthday to hip hop. Thank you to the Westworld Councilman Dupre Kelly, 24 Hours of Peace co-founder Hakeem Green, Channel Live, and the Sugar Hill Gang for coming on Razz in 60. And of course, thank you to our audience for tuning in and listening to us. Make sure you share this episode and all other episodes of Razz in 60 with your family, friends, and social circle to stay updated on the many, many exciting initiatives that are in transforming Newark. And remember, the thing about hip-hop today is it's smart, it's insightful. The way they can communicate a complex message in a very short space is remarkable. And that comes from President Barack Obama. God bless you. See you next time.